God is good, people. And all the time. Amen. As Aaron said, I'm getting ready to celebrate the 44th anniversary of my 29th birthday. You know, God is good to me. Yeah. We started a story a couple weeks ago. We said that, you know, people name, today they name roads by what has happened on them, not by where they're going. And in Bible times, they always did it by where they were going, you know. And I told you a story about one of the roads where we grew up, Kay and I, in the area where we grew up, everybody who ever had an accident on that road died from a broken neck. And so they named it Breakneck Road. We had another road in my hometown where it was rough. So cars would always need repair after they went down that road. And it always cost twice as much as you thought. And it was called Double Trouble Road. Yeah. But in the Bible, it was Jericho Road. And, you know, that's where you were going to. Keep your eye on where you're heading, not on what has happened. So then last week, we began a story about where you're heading, not where you've been. And it was the story of Esther. And we left a part of the story out because, you see, we said last week that Esther is the only book in the Bible where God's name is never mentioned. You will not find God's name anywhere in the book of Esther. And yet, it's one of the most powerful books because we get to see God work in such a way that you get, I tell people, I don't get goosebumps, I get Jesus bumps. Yeah. It makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And, I mean, you just get so excited. You can't shut up. I think Jeremiah put it this way. It's fire in my bones. And so the story of Esther, if you remember the story, Esther got all dressed up, went into the king, and the king says, my, she's looking good. So much so that he says, up to half of my kingdom. Now see, you can look around this room. We can say that. That ain't much. But if Jeff Bezos or Donald Trump or Bill Gates said that, this guy makes Donald Trump look like one of us. Yeah. And he says, up to half my kingdom I'll give you, whatever you want. And so she says, really, all I want is for you to have dinner with me. That's it. Will you come to dinner? And could you bring Haman with you? Wow. And if you remember the story, Haman has a problem. Because Haman, he's up there. I don't know how many of you have ever been famous. Yeah. But you know, Wendell, when you walked into a room, do any of you remember Tom Jones? Yeah. Remember how the ladies acted? Let's see. Yeah. We ain't going into detail, they're children here. Yeah. But you know, I mean, Tom Jones was it. That was Haman. Everybody knew who Haman was. And when Haman came around, one of two things happened. They either they were either afraid or they praised. So the king realizes this man's got it. And he promotes him. So Haman thinks, this is just for me. This is just for me. I mean, I want to get to have dinner with the queen and dinner with the king. So he goes and he has dinner with the king and the queen. And the king says, what is it that you want? And she says, you know, anything worth having is worth waiting for. Can you come again tomorrow night? And Haman goes, yes! Not once, but twice. And he's rushing home to tell his family what's going on. But something happens on the way. It says in Scripture, looking for my text here, in Esther, chapter 5, she tells them that she wants them to come again. So Haman leaves, and he rushes out, and it says, that day in verse 9, I don't know, Jay's trying to keep up with me. I'm trying to keep up with me. I'm trying to keep up with you. Will you slow down some? You know, I'm not a young man anymore. Yeah. He says, that day Haman left, full of joy. Now, two things can't be in the same place at the same time, people. It can't happen. Yeah. You can't be joyful. I know. Yeah. You can't be joyful and a Christian. At least not the way we look at it. Because I don't know, have you looked at Christians? I mean, they're miserable looking people. And then they invite people, they say, don't you want to know my Jesus? You can be just like me. Well, what are you like? Well, my legs are shaky and my knees are weak. I can't eat and I can't sleep. Yeah, that's not joyful. How you doing? Good. That's joyful. Well, Haman was full of joy until, it says, verse 9, he saw Mordecai. And Mordecai, it says, didn't rise or tremble in fear at Haman's presence. Haman went from the top of the hill. I don't know if how many of you have ever ridden, you know, the ride at King's Dominion, the Intimidator 305. My grandson blacked out on it. I mean, it's a drop, people. Whew! We got off. My grandson went. I said, let's go again. Yeah. And he did. Yeah. We went again. Yeah. But that's where Haman was. It says he was full of joy, and in 1 second, one person sucked all the joy out. At least that's what Haman thought. See, nobody can steal your joy. You have to give it up. But Haman goes home. It says, yet Haman controlled himself. Haman, you know, I don't know who wrote this, but they're wrong. You know, I don't think there's anything in the Bible wrong, but they're wrong. Haman did not control himself. And you're about to see why. If he controlled himself, he would have kept his joy. It says, Haman controlled himself, means he didn't have Mordecai killed. And see, there's a lot going on here. So, he gets home and he describes everything that happened. He said, I know, it was great. It was great. It was really good. It was good. The king, the queen, and we were like the Three Musketeers, enjoying dinner. And then I saw Mordecai. That's not controlling yourself, people. See, Christians think a lot of times we're in control. Here's the news flash. You're not. He is. So, Haman's telling his friends, because it says he gathered, you can read it, it's like ragu, it's in there, you know. Telling his family and friends all about it, and it says, still, in verse 13, still none of this satisfied me since I saw Mordecai. It's like, I don't know if you saw it, they were going down to visit the hurricane, and Melania Trump walks out. And I heard one fashion designer say, she doesn't walk, she floats. You know what the news media said? She was wearing tennis shoes. Hello? You didn't see what she looked like? I mean, she made tennis shoes look good. Yeah. That's Mordecai. He's focusing on one person. He said, I could enjoy this, but at the same time, yeah, they finished dinner, just like Thanksgiving, tryptophan had kicked in. The king's feeling sleepy, but he can't sleep. You know why he saw Mordecai? Because God wanted Haman awake that night. So they're both awake. They're both awake. And they're both, by morning, they're both excited. Because if you read it, it's in there, you know, during the night at Haman's house, he gets talking with his friends, and he gets the idea. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build this gallows 75 feet high, and everybody's going to... It's 75 feet high. Everybody in town is going to see Mordecai hanging from this. Oh, I've got a plan. I can't wait. I can't wait to get to see the king, because I want to tell him. I want to tell him about my plan, and he can't sleep. And he has no idea the king can't sleep. So the king finds out there was a death threat because he's having the history books read. And he says, have I done anything to help this man? The man who saved my life. No. Well, I've got to think of something. Now, he's the king. He's pretty smart. But he can't think of anything. He says, I need to get some smart people in here to tell me what to do. He said, is there anybody... Yeah, I mean, it's still dark 30. Is there anybody in the palace I can ask? And they go, well, not yet. At the same time, Mordecai is going, oh, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get there. I've got to tell him about my plan. So Mordecai is running from home, and he's running in the gate, and they go, oh, here comes Mordecai. Or not Mordecai. Here comes Haman. Haman's in the court, and the king says, good, go get Haman. And he was just promoted. Remember, he was just promoted. He had just had, the night before, he had had dinner with the queen and the king. And the king says, I've got a question. I've got an answer. If the king wants to honor somebody, what should they do? Now, you would think Haman came up with this answer. And you would be right. If you never went back to Genesis. Because in Genesis, you don't have to go there, Jay. So you either have to believe me or not. In Genesis, in Egypt, when Pharaoh promoted Joseph, it says in Genesis chapter 41, in verse 22, it says, Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, clothed him in fine garments, and placed a gold chain around his neck, and placed him in the Pharaoh's chariot. And you say, well, I'll never see that again. Till now, Haman's thinking, this is me. I just got a promotion. I just had a dinner with the king and queen. Who else could it be? I mean, let's face it. Yeah, Haman. You know, everybody recognizes me, except the Mordecai. Everybody recognizes me. It has to be me. So Mordecai says, here's what you should do. Get the king's horse, just like Pharaoh's chariot. Get the king's robes, just like Pharaoh's robes. Put the person you want to honor on that horse and have your most trusted person go before them. Just like Joseph. If you read the story of Joseph, if they went before Joseph, telling people to honor Joseph. This is who the Pharaoh put in charge. He says, and tell him, this is the man that the king wants to honor. That's what you should do, king. And the king says, man, you're smart. I would have never thought of that. You go get Mordecai, you put him on the horse, and you go in front of him. And he goes, what you talking about, Willis? He says, he goes, now remember, this is the morning after the dinner, before the dinner. That night he has dinner with the king and queen again. But this morning he's going, he's got to get Mordecai. Think of poor Mordecai. Yeah. See, Mordecai, I believe. Yeah, I mean, you can take my word for it. You don't have to believe it. It's not in there, but I know it has to be written somewhere. I think in English, Mordecai means Sergeant Carter, if you ever watched Gomer Pyle, USMC. Because here's what happens. They're going through the streets, and Haman's going, man, the king wants to honor. You know, just like we do. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah. The man has a king must honor. The man. And Mordecai is going, Sergeant Carter, I can't hear you! Speak up, son! What did you say? I said, the man who the king wants to honor. Stand up and be proud. This is the king's horse. I'm the man the king wants to honor. Tell the people, Haman. Tell them who I am. I mean, think about what God's doing here, people. See, Haman thinks he's in charge. The king thinks he's in charge. Mordecai already told Esther, I know who's in charge. He just didn't know how much God was in charge. See, just like now. See, people say, well, Trump did this, Trump did that, Trump did this. He brought this plane down. I mean, I didn't know he was that good that he could bring a plane down with somebody else's, with Russian rockets. Yeah. in a foreign country. Yeah. People, God's in charge. That's what. It isn't the man the king wants to honor. It's, look who's in charge here. Haman. He's trying to reach Haman as much as he's trying to honor Sergeant Carter. I mean, he wants Haman to see, you are not in control. You're not in control here, buddy. And so they get that done. Haman's sweaty. I don't know whether it was hot or not. But, yeah, I don't know if you've ever had to confess. And I mean, you're embarrassed. And it's sweating like a pig, they say. I don't even know if pigs sweat. I don't know who came up with that. Sweating like a hog. You know. And he, what, as soon as he gets home, messengers come and say, don't forget you have dinner with the king tonight. Intimidator, 305. Yeah, he's on his way back up. You know, it was bad, but I get the. It's not just anybody. Of all the women in Susa, I get to have dinner with the most beautiful, Esther. And they rush in and they say, you don't have much time. You better get ready. And so Haman's back on top again. He's back on top. And he's saying, you know, I've got to go to dinner. I'm going to be with the king. I'm going to be with the king. Humiliated. And yet, people, I don't know if you've ever been there, but the deeper the valley, the more fertile the soil. And I heard a preacher one time say, if you're on the mountaintop, he said, they call that the peak. You know why that's the peak? So you get the peak at the next mountain. And the only way through that mountain, next mountain, is going through another valley. Yeah. And maybe you've seen that on the internet. They even have mountain peaks connected with a glass bridge. They call it glass. It's a some kind of acrylic, because I ain't getting out on a glass bridge. But you can see the valley the whole time you're going across. Yeah. I know Carol wouldn't do that. Yeah. But you think about what's going on here. You think about God being in charge. I mean, think if you're God's man. I know there's a death decree upon you. I know that. You know that. Let's face it. Statistics prove that. I don't know if you've read the statistics, but 100 out of 100 die. Yeah. People tell me, yeah, I ain't going to Mary Washington Hospital. People die there. Really? Really? I had a friend who's a mortician. His daddy was a mortician, and all the people who went there were buried. Mary Washington has a better track record than that. You know? What were we talking about in Bible study? 50-50 chance. People, if you've come to God, it's a 100% chance. You may go down, but you're coming back up again. Yeah. See, Christians know how to die. Amen. I told people, that's why my grandchildren call me Poppy, because I'm popping up. Yeah, if I leave before Jesus comes, you look to the cemetery, because somebody's popping up. You know, and that's just what it's going to be like. And so here's Mordecai. He's thinking to himself, Man, it's been a good day. It has been a good day. And Haman's gone. It's been a miserable day. But tonight's going to be better. I got this. And he looks out his window, and he sees a gallows 75 feet high. He says, tonight is going to be good, but tomorrow's going to be great. And he goes to dinner. Thinking, nobody else, you know. Look, Mordecai's not been bowing down, but he's not having dinner with the king and queen either. And that's when Esther, like we said before, tells, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. Please, King, spare my life. That's in there. She doesn't say Haman wants to kill me. She says, please spare my life. He says, what are you talking about? She said, someone has signed a decree to kill all my people. All your people? Yes, all the Jews. I'm a Jew. Do you want me? Here's what she does. Do this so you can say, do you want me to die, King? Of course not. Who in the world would want to kill my queen? People. She points to Haman and then she says it. Hey. Think of his name. Hey, man. About to put a haymaker on Haman. Yeah. Haman didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He went Pentecostal on him. He started speaking in tongues. You want to kill my queen? Well, I didn't know. Yeah. I didn't know. If I knew she was a Jew, I would have made an exception. It didn't matter. Because once the queen, see, once God gets the message to the person that needs to have it, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Kind of like this week. Once God got the message to Trump, take him out. It didn't matter what the general said. It didn't matter what Congress said. He got the message. Take him out. And any of you who have ever been in that position, been there, yeah. It doesn't matter what anybody says. You know what you have to do. Well, the king wasn't there yet. So he says, I don't know what to do. And he storms out. I need to think. And he didn't need to think. He just didn't like the decision he was going to have to make. He wasn't there yet. Have you heard some news reporters this week? They didn't need to take that guy out. He only killed 600 Americans. He only maimed thousands of our troops, killed thousands and thousands of his own people. He's not. Remember the old movies? Some of you, you're too young, Kanika, to remember Father Duffy. Father Duffy would always come in and go, Tiger's not a bad boy. He just killed 2,000 people. I'd call that ornery. Yeah, think about it. Yeah. And they're all second-guessing, saying, he's not a bad person. That's what the king's thinking. Haman's my most trusted man. And God's going, Gabe, we've got to do something. He's not there yet. He's not at the point of decision. And Haman's, while that's going on, remember there's a whole other scene going on, just like in the movies, whole other scene. Haman went from being way up top, now he's begging for his life. I didn't really mean you, Esther. Honest, Esther. I didn't know you were Jewish. Honest, Esther. If I knew you were honest, Esther. Honest. Please, please, spare my life. Give me life in prison. Give me life without parole. But please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. Whatever you... Esther, please. At that... And he didn't know what to do, and Esther's gone. Talk to the Paul. Yeah. She ain't hearing it. So Haman gets excited. And he says, I've got to get her to hear me. And the king's going, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. He's my most trusted man. And who am I going to replace him with? He's out in the garden. He's going, I'm going to go in and I'm going to tell him I need to think more about this. At that time, God says, Gabe, we've got to do something. Haman gets up. And he goes over to plead with Esther. Now, this is in there. And as he does, God says, Gabe, stick out your foot now. Boom. Haman trips and falls right on top of Esther. It's right in there. Just as the king is opening the door. And the king, now he knows what to do. You would do this in front of me? Remember, maybe it was last week, the week before, I said, David, the shepherd boy, was not a delivery boy. Goliath was the delivery boy because God had to slay Goliath. But there is no way that little boy David could carry that sword all that way. So he had Goliath carry the sword to the battle. And Goliath's sword was going to be used to cut off Goliath's head. He was the delivery boy for God. Not David. David was just, you know, ringing the doorbell. 30 minutes or less. And it's here. Yeah. Same here. Haman is the delivery boy for God. He builds his own gallows. See, when you're looking at what's going on in Washington, yeah, that should be, I don't know if you've ever watched Swamp People. That's what D.C. should be called, Swamp People. Because everything in the swamp is poisonous and deadly. And I'm trying to think of the last time something good came out of there, you know. Look, I don't like what's happening. And I'd be concerned if they were in charge. If, you know, Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff or Donald Trump or McCarthy or whoever it is, there's some of them I like, some of them I don't like. But you know what? None of them are in charge. I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends. And it's over and over and over again. And the story of Esther is just this. Reagan doctrine. We win, you lose. Reagan doctrine. That's God's doctrine. That isn't Reagan doctrine. That's God's doctrine. I know what it looks like. See, I know what it looks like now. Yeah, I see what's happening in the world. I see all this craziness going on, like Kay Price brought up in class. Anybody can get married. Doesn't matter. I mean, they just had a woman in New England not long ago married herself. I think they deserve each other. But, you know, you'll get that later. Yeah. She just, married herself. I wonder who she pays alimony to when she divorces herself. Yeah. And where are you going to get an attorney to represent you? Yeah, me too. Yeah, think about the whole... Yeah. So everything's crazy. Yeah. But God is in charge. And it's going to end, people. And it's going to end soon. What we should get from the book of Esther is, don't be a Haman. Don't let your stupidity keep you from the cross. Because Jesus isn't enough. He's more than enough. It begins and ends at Calvary. When Jesus said, "It is finished." Now you have some payments to make. No. It is finished. It's over. We've won. You know the worst thing about being a Vietnam vet? Spent time over there, you know, other people who spent, lost a lot of friends there. One thing we never lost there was a battle. Not one. You can go through the history books. We never, ever, ever lost a battle. Just the war. That's Christians. Yeah. We've already won the war. My battle is against me. See, when I think, I don't know how this is going to turn out. It's going to turn out exactly. Let me see, how's that in Jeremiah 29:11? I know the plans that I have for you. You're going to be coming down Route 3 at 50 miles an hour in somebody else's van. Mary, I would have let you have this accident in your car, but you just got a new car and I didn't want to break your heart. So I'll use your boss's vehicle. I mean, think about it. Think of everything God had to do. I know the plans, see, but I forget to read the end of the book. We win. We didn't win. We won. It's past tense. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm empowered. By his stripes, I'm forgiven. By his stripes, by his stripes, by his stripes, not by my works. From the uttermost to the guttermost, as Peter Marshall used to say, he's able. Yeah. He's done it, people. That's what the book of Esther is all about. That's why, yeah. We spend a lot of time with Wendell. A lot of time. Now, not always with Wendell, but he's with us when we're going to Jersey. He's with us when we go to, you know, like you say, you're at the sink doing dishes. Yeah. And I listen, "You Are My Sunshine." I listen to, you know, "One God." Yeah. And then every so often I have to, "Jesus, I'm coming back to you," because I forget that I've already won the battle. And I try to go back in when the battle's already won. See? It's all about Jesus. And people, he's coming. He's coming soon. Now you have a choice to make. I know where I'm going. Ain't no doubt about it. You know. Nah. Told you before, and you'll hear it a lot. On my way over to Vietnam, God spoke to me, and I wasn't even a Christian. I didn't even know who it was speaking to me, but you know, I found out later once I came to him, I recognized the voice. He said, "If you listen to me, I'll get you home alive." See, that's the same thing I read in here every single week. if you listen to me, I'll get you out of here alive. And every time they assigned a new man to my squad, I'd say, I'll tell you right now, if you listen to me, I'll get you out. How could you be so sure? You wouldn't believe me if I told you. I didn't believe it. Yeah. Because people fall at your right, people fall at your left. You know, so they say. You know, we never lost a guy in our squad. Never lost one guy in our squad. Not one. And we operated behind enemy lines. You know. So you look at that and you go, see, God brought me through that, and he says, if I can get you through that jungle, and then he takes me to places that, I mean, I know, you say, how could they not? But we've been places people loved us, and they really loved us. And then they assigned me to a church, and I told them, I ain't going. And they called again, and I said, I ain't going. I told you I ain't going. I said, and if you ask again, don't bother calling tomorrow. I'm not coming. They called again. God says, you know, you live near a lot of water. Have you ever read the book of Jonah? I said, okay, I'll come. See, and I thought it was to there. But it wasn't. It was to there. Hey, God has a plan for each and every single one of you. You didn't plan to be here today. It's his plan for you to be. I don't know why you're here today. What I want you to hear is, don't make Gabriel stick his foot out and trip and you end up on Esther's couch. Because the evil one has a gallows waiting. The good one has a cross waiting. Yeah. Your choice. Eternity. Smoking or non-smoking? That's what it's all about. Get these verses, get these songs into your head. That's how you remember. I'm coming back to you. You are my sunshine. And you know what? I know, see, some days I go, man, I like this president. He's good. But then I have to say, there's only one God. He's my God. In him only will I worship. I will not bow down. I won't bow down to idols. I won't bow down to people. But I will bow down before the cross because there's one God. People, God is good. You think of how he orchestrated this day, who he gets to come here, how he gets you here. Yeah. Not a coincidence. Not a coincidence. You know, the way they would do it in Scripture, they would have a meeting, they would talk about God, and then they would just, sometimes one person would sing, sometimes everybody would sing, but it would just bring this balm of Gilead over the whole crowd. Because these songs aren't just from here. They're from there. And when God sends you a special gift, we need to just say, thank you, Jesus. Because in my wildest, see, as a young boy, yes, I used to be young one time. I dye this hair so that people think I'm old. Yeah. I used to listen to the Platters. Yeah. And everybody has, yeah, we might be sitting in our 56th Ford going, that's our song. Yeah, think about it. Never dreaming in my wildest dreams. Well, maybe if I was at Willow Creek or some mega church. But in a warehouse in Fredericksburg, Virginia? Not because of me, but because I've got a plan for you. Before you were formed in your mama's womb. Say, Gabe, you got that date down? Yes. January 11th, 2020. Oh. Should I pencil it in? Nope. Write it in indelible ink. Because I am the Lord God, I change not. I'm sending him there. Just so we can sit up front, just like sitting in that 56 Ford Victoria. Think about it, people. How much God loves us. How much God loves you. How much God loves you for such a time as this. That's why God says, he says in Numbers, he says, chapter 6, he says, the Lord spoke to Moses. He says, tell Aaron and his sons how you are to bless the Israelites. See, if he leaves it up to us, well, that's why we have to stand our ground. Because this is never going to change. He says, God is able to bless you and protect you, Stan, and everybody else. God is able to make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. And God is able to look with favor on you and to annihilate anything that would come against you.